This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
All right, welcome back to another episode of, I don't even know, I'm not even going to joke about our name anymore, it's way overboard. Game of Thrones podcast, Andrew Porter, Tom Kelly, Dave Breitmeyer, Bill Kornfeld, Season 8, Episode 5,
The Bells.
This is a interesting episode. I mean, I'll start off and I'll say, well, we can all agree on, cinematically, it was probably the best episode ever, cinematically. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Game bowl with them together and them cutting in Arya was one of the greatest things that they've ever filmed.
I agree.
Film-wise, cinematography-wise.
Yeah, when we get into the writing and the script and the episode itself, it gets controversial. And it was ranked and rated somewhat low. You know, the polarity of the episode goes from some calling it a top five episode ever to some saying just an awful episode, complete garbage. I'll come out and say I thought it was fantastic. By far the best episode of the season. I thought it was a top 10 episode ever. I thought it was true. It got back to the roots, Game of Thrones. It had great scenes, great acting. The Jaime Tyrion scene, great acting. The Jaime Cersei scene, great acting. The Hound Arya scene, great acting. The Varys part in the beginning had the throne set up. It really had everything. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. I really wasn't too predictable, except for the fact that Danny was going to ignore the bells, which you knew that was coming. But I was fine with it. I wanted to see it. I think it sets up for a great finale, and I'm back. I'm all in. I'm all in on it.
You know what's funny?
And now we go to Bill, who's going to kill
it. Bill who hates it.
How he described it, I totally agree with him. Cinematically, acting, just everything from. The opening scene with Varys, it looked like he was writing to someone. He was writing how Jon was the heir to the trueborn heir to the Iron Throne, and how he's the better than Dany in every aspect.
And did you guys catch he was trying to poison Dany?
I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch that either.
The little girl kept coming in, and he was saying, you know,
she hasn't eaten
in 2 days.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Greater risk comes greater reward. We'll try again at supper. He was trying to poison her. Danny wasn't eating.
Put two and two together.
He gets killed. It was very strategic. Varys is diplomatic.
Then everything started happening. He kind of forgot about that.
That's a key point. Like, obviously, that's just Varys' MO. Like, something like this behind the scenes and just let it happen and then you'll deal with it. But like I was telling Porter, everything that he described, I agree with. The problem is the writing. How we got to where we got is what doesn't make sense to me. How we go from...
In its past, right? Like, I've accepted it was rushed to this point, but now I'm evaluating each episode on its own.
I think what happened was D&D just said... We set this cap, 73 episodes, 72 episodes, whatever it is, and we're running out of content. We're running out of minutes.
Yeah, but like
we've beaten and that dead horse.
Like we've talked about that so much, though.
Yeah, but
last episode, I agree. Last episode was terrible. I agree, or not terrible, but it was.
You can't just just go from Dany being the.
I disagree with that though. Dany was
in an. I don't disagree with the tactic to make her the Mad Queen.
Right.
I disagree with the tactic to make her the Mad Queen in less than 2 hours.
I think a lot happened for her to get there.
I think you can both be right. I think you both are right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways you both are right.
No, I'm
it's,
right.
It's rushed. And there's nothing that is going to stop it from being rushed. Like, you should have had a full season 7, you should have a full season 8, and that would set up her descending into madness better.
Yep.
But at the same time, like you both have said, I don't hate the result. I think her going this route was in a lot of ways foreshadowed the entire time. I do think there are ways that you could have it happen enough. This makes last week, well, I still think last week episode 4 was awful.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it make a little more sense. Like, they needed to have Missandei and Rhaegal die in that episode to make her go crazy.
Yeah,
and I don't agree with how that was done and you know, the aspect of how quickly it all happened.
Yeah, like they forced the Missandei to get captured and killed, but like that was an
important
part.
And that kind of messed up that episode.
Yeah.
But in general, I thought this episode was really cool.
I thought it all made sense.
I thought the storyline was, you know, well, it was rushed, and I understand how a lot of people who Daenerys is their favorite character are very upset about it, and I get that.
But that's what makes it great.
Right.
That's what makes Thrones great, is like, you don't your favorite character can turn at any minute. Like,
and I get that.
The thing is, it does set up, like you said, for a very compelling finale.
Agreed.
I mean, it should be a very compelling finale.
I will say, like, there's really, like, I was joking with a couple friends about how, like, what their predictions were, and I just joked, like, dude, predictions don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what
We've
been wrong every time of how this is going to go, except for, like, the generic stuff. We kind of had a consensus at some point Dany was going to go mad.
But all those, like, wild theories didn't come true.
Yeah. So, like, my biggest gripe with this is just, I think, just an expansion from not this sole episode, but going back to last week and beyond in season 7
rushed,
about
but like,
how...
Yeah, you just got to throw that in the trash.
And, yeah, but the problem is it ruined the main part of that episode. The main part of that episode is when Dany just looks at the Red Keep, looks down at the people, and decides, I'm going to be crazy now.
Right.
And that could have been a real great... It could have been like very dramatic.
I thought
Or when it did, you could have gone, oh, I guess he's crazy now.
But
and
at
like,
the same time,
that's a little weird.
But I don't think that it is that simple of she just like decided to go crazy in that moment.
She's
like, when she
about
lost
this.
Jorah, she lost Missandei, she lost Rhaegal. Some of that was there, but you could have used a couple more episodes to show it happening.
What about Varys trying to kill her?
I don't think it
Tyrion being dumb, Jon not loving her anymore.
Right.
She was alone.
The Jon aspect is big too. I don't think
she had no one.
Like, I don't think it was totally insane. I don't think it was a total failure on their part to set it up properly, but I do think it could have been set up better. That's why I think both viewpoints in a lot of ways
and
are correct.
The way they paused her and they held that scene where the bells rang so long, that was well done. It was dramatized because she was thinking about it.
So
she just turned real quick.
I get it, but if did you guys, I don't know how you guys watched.
She became a homicidal maniac. It's not like that she became depressed or she had a bad day. She became a homicidal maniac.
Overnight. Yeah, but like, it wasn't overnight. Like, she's talked about burning cities and doing this forever.
What was overnight / within 15 seconds after the bells rang was her killing innocence.
Yeah, but she always
I don't
want
to be the queen of ashes.
Never, it was never preempted that she was going to be a killer of innocence.
Look,
everyone, to TK's point about how she, it was teased that she was the mad queen. Yes, but she was mad towards her enemies from when she, I don't remember the guy's name, when she's buying the Unsullied and she's trading Drogon in season 3, I think it was. 3 or 4, when she's trading, she's putting up this facade that she's going to trade Drogon for the Unsullied. Then she tells Drogon to kill this guy. That's an enemy. That's not an innocent. She has never...
She's started to change. Like, we've seen this for multiple seasons. And, like, look, there's a difference between agreeing that she should have done this, rationalizing it, versus agreeing that the writing was bad and they didn't foreshadow it enough. Like, maybe she went crazy too quickly, but, like, I think they totally foreshadowed it enough. I don't think it was a stretch.
I also think
but
here
maybe I'm
that,
in the minority.
That
I think sorry, TK. I legitimately think this is like a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get both sides of it. I think part of it though, what we got to remember is when you see something like this happening on screen, it's shocking and it's stunning.
Totally.
And it was. I was sitting there like, oh my God, like she's slaughtering all these people. She's burning down this city.
But did you think it was coming?
But this is the thing that it's different when you see it than when you hear about it. Like when you hear about all the stories previously in Westeros and these cities being torn to the ground, and this is always the way it happens. Maybe not with a dragon.
It's been a
thing from the first season. It's Varys's main point throughout the whole show is when these, you know, the Game of Thrones or these rivalries play out, the people that suffer more than any are the innocents.
Totally.
And it's exactly what happened in this episode. And I think, you know, when you see it play out, you tend to think, oh, she's so horrible. And what she did
and
was
she
horrible.
Is,
but, you know, this is in this is a lot of ways, like, the way of war. This is how people die.
Right?
Rob Stark's armies raped women and killed innocent people.
In real life,
and
like,
the good that's
the way it works.
That's
no
a lot
one
of the
is
point.
One way. Some people, good people, turn bad all the time.
Like you saw
look at the criminal justice system. Like that happens.
You see it with Jon's army. Like they're the good guys, and they are slaughtering innocents. And it's like it's different when you see it happen that when you just hear, like, you hear all these stories and it's like, oh, that happened this many years ago, like these dragons burned this many people, and you hear about it but you don't really think of the consequences. But when you saw it on screen, that is part of what I think really made it shocking.
I think like the root of Game of Thrones is, like, obviously the element of surprise has been big for the show, but the best part about the show is the blurred lines between good and evil. And I think like, you know, the Hound and Jaime are great examples of that. And, like, Jaime's one of my favorite characters, and people were upset that he went back to Cersei. And, like, it's not about what you want to happen. It's about real life. And, like, that's he stayed true to who he was. And, like, that he loves her. And, like, weird. He's a weird dude.
Were you right on your prediction last week? Because you said on the pod, you thought he was going to kill her. Yeah. So, like, I think that's another issue. Like, you had two central point characters in Dany, who we could cry until the cows come home about how her storyline was rushed, but we also saw it with Jaime, with even with Varys to an extent, like, and definitely Tyrion. These characters have made this left turn, not to their fault, but to the writing's fault, and like about how Tyrion has had bad after bad after bad idea. Varys has just kind of,
and you saw it in his eyes, like, yeah,
but,
you know,
but
I was wrong.
The Tyrion thing makes a little more sense to me after this, because this is the exact result that Tyrion was trying to avoid. Like he knew her, and this is part of what I think makes it easier to accept the Daenerys part of it.
Yeah,
this has always been her tendency,
right?
Like her tendency ever since she came over was burn King's Landing to the ground. And, you know, she could have done that earlier, and this would have been finished with earlier.
Yeah,
Tyrion was trying to prevent this from happening.
The other thing is, like, this, like, if this was going to be the end result with Drogon and her, literally just one dragon destroying all the scorpions that last week I'm just going to point it out.
Yeah.
Killed.
Again, I think that's a last week problem, not a this. I think it should be hard, not easy.
If we're looking at Game of Thrones as this monumental series and groundbreaking series, you kind of have to look at
it.
And there's an easy way to solve that. You have the scorpions, which were very powerful when they killed. They could have had it be, and they were shot off of a moving ship and killed a dragon, and then a second one hit it too, and then suddenly they turn into completely useless.
Yeah,
weapons.
Then all of a sudden they're
what would their success rate be? Right, like they were 2 out of 12. Like, you know, Klay Thompson misses 8 shots. Like it's just a show. Like, it's not a perfect scorpion.
I know, but
when they were so specific in their writing, from I'm going to be ballpark and be generous and say like seasons 1 through 5, when they were very tight, everything. I mean, they like
agreed. We're in agreement there. It's not the same as the first 6 seasons, but we've already admitted that.
There's always going to be episodes with that fourth episode. The issues with that fourth episode.
Yeah, totally.
That will never go away.
Agreed.
I'm just at the point now where I would rather not let it ruin the entire show for me.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I'd rather not let that fourth episode. Like, I will never like that episode. I'll always think it was the worst episode in the history of the show.
Unbound, unbroken when Sansa gets married to Ramsay.
I won't like the episode last year where they go north for that stupid plan.
Right.
But, you know, they're annoying and that's, you know, frustrating. But they, it's obvious what they're trying to do is move these chess pieces where they felt like they needed them.
Exactly.
Where if they took more time, they wouldn't have to do and it that way, and that'll always be frustrating.
Right. And that's why they killed off who was the first, Viserion. He was the first dragon to die. He was the one that died north last week, or in season 7. When like, they had to bring down Dany's power. Look what she did with one dragon. She had all three dragons. We're talking about, we're wondering why she took this long.
Right.
Like, if you have three full-blown dragons, so the writers had to bring down her power. I think they did that too quickly, but at the same time, like,
they're doing it on too many fronts.
But to TK's point, they had to move chess pieces to get things where they are.
They're moving too many pieces all at the same time, and it's jarring to us as people trying to watch the show.
We saw, like, what's the big, the writer, George whatever.
George R.R. Martin.
Yeah, yeah, like, clearly he gave them an outline of, like, major things happening, how major characters die, and like we saw a lot of that in this last episode. Maybe the two previous episodes were filler episodes. The writers had to come up with some ways to make those more context. But like ultimately, my point is, I really enjoyed this episode because I was totally fine with how everything unraveled. Like, this is the big episode,
and they never. We had to think about is they never had to do this. George R. R. Martin and the showrunners never had to get somewhere. They always were just progressing characters with not any thought of where this is going to end up. Zero thought. Could keep they could have kept writing these characters out
into oblivion
and never get anywhere, but at this point
this has to end.
And there is no structure from a writer who doesn't know how to end stuff.
I think that's a total fair point.
You're 100% right. Like, this is what's funny about this, the TV show, and in comparison with the books, is they have the complete opposite problem. Like, it's the complete opposite. The TV show is getting there too fast. They're progressing too fast. The books, he doesn't know how to write this stuff and bring it all back together because it's so large and expansive. I think that's a really good point.
There's two different kind of writers. There's planners and pantsers. There's people who write by the seat of their pants, and there's people who plan everything out. George R. R. Martin is a pantser. He's just writing. He's just writing in a... These characters are becoming better and better, and he's getting more ideas as he's writing these characters. And now they have to become planners. They have to get from point A to point B, and it's completely changed of what this TV show is.
2 points. I don't know about the book, but I would say, one, Euron was the worst TV character of the show by
far. That was a huge failure.
But you said in the book he's a different character.
TK and I have said.
He's way cooler in the books. He's way more of a badass in the books.
But like his death,
the Jaime theme was just like, get him out of the way. That was weird. I agree. Two, Qyburn's death was fantastic. One of the best deaths ever.
Actually, I'm glad
you brought that up. Listen to your queen.
One of the first memes I saw, like, I think this has just become a trend, especially in season 8, of like memes that are just criticizing it from a comedic standpoint. And the first thing was a picture of Qyburn that I saw, and it said, shout out to the funniest death in season 8, episode 5.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but laugh because his death was pretty ridiculous.
I liked when he came in when Cersei is like, we only need one good shot.
Yeah.
And he's like, the scorpions are all destroyed.
The Iron Fleet
is gone.
I don't think you understand. They're all gone.
Yeah. Do you not see the dragon, the nuclear bomb efficiency?
The other thing I thought was interesting was the Hound and Arya scene obviously was great. Yeah. The way their relationship, I thought it was awesome the way that ended. But like, Arya gets a little bit like humanized again at the end, and like maybe she goes back to being somewhat of a human. It seemed like the
my favorite part of this season is this is like Arya's best season.
Yeah,
she's been amazing.
Yeah. I loved how they followed her out. That was really cool.
I will say, as far as the burning in the city and stuff, I thought it was really cool how they followed it from that perspective.
Agreed.
Of the people. On the ground, as opposed to Dany.
Yeah.
I would have been cool to see a shot or two of her, but like showing all the innocent people
made it
more jarring as a viewer.
They might have filmed it and then it just didn't work.
Oh, I'm sure they did. And
it could have her like on a dragon, like cackling and burning people alive. It's a little off putting, and they might have tried to film it and went, it just doesn't work. Let's do more of the Arya stuff.
I think we also got the reason why we were given a short, like, I'm going back to last week with how we were all pissed about the ghost scene. Now we make sense. Like, the CGI makes sense. They had to put it all into this one episode.
Also, seeing Jon, like, mentally struggle with what was happening was, like, kind of fascinating. I mean, I know he didn't play, like, that big of a role, but, like, as this, like, another example of blurred lines between good and evil. He's seeing like all these people fighting, and he doesn't know which side he's on anymore. And he was so conflicted, you know, being such a good guy.
He's hearing the
he's
bells.
So conflicted. Yeah, I mean, he sees like Lannister soldiers trying to save civilians, and Grey Worm killing Lannister soldiers who surrendered. He was like a mess, and I thought that was.
How about your boy Grey Worm showing a lot of compassion and emotion?
A lot of emotion.
I'm curious.
Jesus, lost his mind.
I am curious of like, and we always do this.
Is he still Team Danny? By the way, Grey Worm.
Oh yeah, Grey. Yeah, yeah, Grey Worm
might be the only one.
The only one left.
I think, and we always do this. We dive into our predictions for next episode. But I think there's a part of me that kind of looks at this and says John's going to go not crazy, but like. Really conflicted himself, like, do I need to kill Grey Worm and Danny and all these other people? And it's going to get to that point. Especially,
I don't think he's conflicted at all.
No, he knows. I think he knows.
I think he knows after seeing that she can't rule.
Arya,
who saw it happen, Arya is not going to be down with it. Tyrion's not going to be down with it. Yeah. I think this whole week is going to be about how do we get her out of power.
Yeah.
Well, one of my predictions is that Danny tries to kill John with the dragon, and he doesn't burn, and then it's proven that proves to everyone that he's a Targaryen.
I don't know if I could handle that. That would be pretty ridiculous, and incredible moment. Like I wouldn't. If that happens, I would have. I don't want to nitpick, but book readers would have complaints with that. I wouldn't. That would be incredible. That would be awesome.
Thank you. I wrote that.
Yeah. That would be pretty cool.
It's so hard to predict.
But at the same time, I think also the problem that we're seeing is, like I said, predictions don't matter anymore. Like where we're at, like I think readers and viewers are so deep dived into this and thought this out that they're more invested in it than the writers are at this point. And that's the problem. When writers like Dave, who just said that prediction, and immediately we said, that's a great module of how to prove he's a Targaryen.
I'm actually a planner,
I'm a planner.
But I don't think that the writers are, for a lack of a better term, intelligent enough to realize that that's what they should be doing.
But at this point, though, like, I feel like you can either, and I could have a totally different opinion after this finale. Like, the finale is pretty much going to determine a lot for me.
Yeah, I mean, but, I have no idea what can happen.
Yeah, like, but I would just rather at this point, if I can, try to enjoy it more than
absolutely.
Dissect it.
Yeah,
you know,
I know
that's just where I'm at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those people who they didn't do my prediction, so I'm going to be mad. Like the people who wanted Arya to put it on Jamie's face.
Yeah, because, that's
like,
kind
of
stuff
oh,
that's
what
ridiculous.
He didn't do my idea. Well, guess what? They did.
That's
sorry,
a stupid idea. Yeah.
Right.
I'm kind of happy. I'm kind of happy now though that the show is ending before the books because eventually I still have the books. I still have the books to read. Hopefully,
were you guys happy with Cersei's death with Jamie and all that? Like I thought it was too compassionate. Like,
I thought it was cool how they humanized her. I mean, you kind of felt bad for her, which was unbelievable.
But is she worthy of the viewer's compassion?
Well, that's up to the viewer.
She is still a person, though. Like, I thought that was
well done. Yeah.
It actually, and I was very upset about the Jamie thing last week. And that's another thing where I think if it had a couple episodes showing why he was going to leave Brienne and go back to Cersei, it would have worked better.
Right, it was such a quick turn.
And he didn't kill anybody. He just wanted to be with her.
I thought it made more sense after this episode, and I thought her death was fitting. That I responded to our colleague James Seltzer had a terrible take last night where he said, is Cersei definitely dead? Like, she's dead.
But I said,
I thought her death was pretty, fitting for her to die, with Jaime, and only after being, because her whole thing, her entire arc was arrogance.
Yeah.
She was too arrogant to realize she was fighting a war she couldn't win until it was too late.
Yeah, to that point.
In Game of Thrones style, like the biggest, baddest villain is weeping, terrified of death, and you're just like, shit.
She deserves it.
You kind of feel bad for her, but like, you're conflicted as a viewer. But like many different viewers had many different reactions to that, which is what makes it great. Like it's not like cut or dry. Like, maybe you wanted her to get her throat slit.
You can't let the fans write the show for you.
Right, exactly. You just have to decide. And I thought that was cool.
Put it this way. I felt more compassion.
And she can only die one way. So you're going to.
Yeah, people are going to be upset.
I felt more compassion for Jamie's death than her death. And I think a lot of people felt that way.
Obviously. Yeah. People like Jamie. People don't like Cersei.
But
we all surmise that that Cersei would get killed with Arya stealing Jaime's face, or her throat would get slit, or something crazy. Yeah. And like, she just died in there, the ashes fell on her, she's crying. She's got a baby.
This is diving into the books a little bit, but the Valon Qarr theory, where she would die with someone's hands around her throat, it's technically true because Jaime's hands were around her.
And it's supposed supposed to be a little sibling kills her, which Dany does still fit that prophecy. Not everybody thought it was going to be Arya or Jaime, like little sibling, but Dany, being the youngest of three children, does still fit that prophecy.
Yeah, it still fits. Yeah.
And Clegane Gameball, like, obviously predictable, but incredible
to see. That was
amazing. Unbelievable.
Dave and I were talking before the pod.
Well done. Like, I thought it was
I was so sick of hearing about it, I was kind of done with it. Yeah, but then when it happened, I'm like, oh, here comes Clegane Gameball. We've been ready for this. I'm like, oh, no, this is actually pretty cool.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, when you saw, I always mix them up, which one's which. I guess Sandor is the mountain.
No, he's the hound.
So the mountain.
When Arya says Sandor, thank you.
That's very sorry. Yeah. So when the mountain's helmet falls off and you see, like, we've been teased what he looks like underneath for three seasons.
It looks a lot like Varys, by the way.
Yeah, he did. But I thought that was incredible.
And the hound goes, you know, what does he say? Like, F it, die already or something. Like, he has comedic lines in the middle of this fight. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, in the behind the thrones, like in the behind the scenes, the writer said, like, when Sandor faced his two greatest fears, fire and his brother, he realized, like, the one thing that he could conquer is fire if he had to face, or his brother.
It was more important to defeat
his brother. I thought that was great. Like, just like how they presented that. Cersei just going, Sandor, stay by, Clegane, stand by my side.
Splicing that with Arya, it was really cool. I thought that was well done.
What'd you guys think of Arya turning back? I actually liked it a lot. You know, her, like, you know,
quest back.
Like realizing there's more to her life than just revenge.
I love that. Again, her character's constantly developing, and, like, you know, we thought she was this assassin, she doesn't love Gendry, and now she's like, you know, like, maybe I do like my back.
Go back to Gendry. Maybe that's where she's going.
No, she's still not a lady. She's still.
I don't think she's a lady.
She'll be.
She's got a heart. She's not the hound, is what they made
sure
belongs, we
realized. She belongs with Sansa
with the Starks,
in the north. That's where she's going to go.
With the Starks, like, Bran, Jon, Sansa.
Is it prediction time now?
Well, I guess so.
Or just, like, the general.
Yeah, the general feeling like it ends with the four Starks, you know, together and happy.
I would hope.
I think there's
a part of me and a part of my, like, that just kind of, I see John going north again, like going to the wall, going to doing something, because he doesn't want anything to do with this.
North? So it ends with John going away?
I think he goes back to being the Lord Commander, like the Night's Watch, or establishing.
Of what?
But establishing a new Night's Watch.
Rebuilding the Night's Watch. Like, I've heard that theory.
White Walkers.
For what?
Yeah.
I would love the final scene in the episode to be, you know, be it a bookend with the first scene in the first episode with somehow the White Walkers returning north.
Yeah, I've heard
that's what I would like.
Because Bran is the White Walker.
Bran's the Night King.
Oh, by the way,
we're
not going to see Bran. Your stupid prediction last week.
Not giving up on it. Bran is coming back. If we end this series without explaining what Bran was doing during this battle, which apparently was nothing, he's not the horse that saves Arya. If we don't figure out what the heck is up with Bran...
I do buy that he brought the horse. Like, why not?
We're not getting a Bran explanation.
If we don't get an explanation of what Bran is...
But you're not. I can tell you, Dave. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be... It's going to be terrible.
He's a superhuman that can see into the past.
Right.
He doesn't like to help.
And obviously he doesn't like to help. But why? Because he's not good.
He doesn't care because he thinks the world should go as it should, right? Like, it's robotic.
He knows, like, how it should go, and, like, and he'll put pieces in place, but he's not going to tell anybody.
The only thing he cared about was killing the Night King. Why?
Because the Night King was evil.
I'm not asking you. I want an answer why.
Yeah, we're not going to get
because the Night King was trying to kill him.
I think we'll get some... thing with Bran. I think we'll get some kind of explanation. I don't buy Dan's I don't buy Dave's theory that Bran is evil. I don't get that.
Dan style.
I think we'll get something with Bran. I don't know.
But I think there's like one or two potential end scenes like TK. Now I'm saying Dan, you're screwing me up, TK. TK said that it ends with the Vision from the first season, or similar to the first season, and we see the Nightwalkers come back. I think it's that John ranging north, and that's the end of it, or like maybe even new dragon eggs. Like I don't think there's anything outside of that that's potential for this.
I think that I would love to see a White Walker thing to end it, but
yeah,
I
a little cheesy.
I don't know if John survives.
I could see that.
Like, I don't know if John survives.
Danny survive?
Danny's definitely dead.
Danny's
and I think
dead. Danny's a homicidal maniac at this point. She needs to be dead.
And I get
by
like
anybody.
And yeah. And what Varys said was, you flip a coin when a Targaryen is born, and you see which side it lands on. He said he knew he had a good idea of which coin where it landed for Danny, where she was mad, and he said he knew where John's was already because he was good and just. I think there's a potential that they're going to kill Danny, and then there's going to be this stigma towards anybody with the name Targaryen, and they're going to kill John too because they don't want to risk it.
How the bigger issue than how they kill Danny is how do you kill Drogon? Because if you kill Danny,
that's John gets it.
No, Drogon is Danny's.
Danny, there's only in the books, and they teased it a little bit into the show. There's only one dragon rider
per dragon.
I think. John,
ooh, that's going to be a problem with the book people.
John gets that dragon.
I mean, that's another.
That's the only that's way to do happen. It. They're not killing a dragon.
Here's my theory how that's going to happen.
Yeah, you can kill a dragon.
Especially with all the scorpions gone. Like, what do you do?
My theory how it's going to happen is
I don't have time to kill a dragon.
It would be ironic. John is a Targaryen, kills the last dragon in Drogon with his Valyrian steel sword, maybe through the eye or something.
Yeah, because that's a weak point.
Because that's where they're weak, and Valyrian steel can apparently kill anything. No, and man. I think Arya takes care of Danny.
Yeah,
believe Arya's going to kill Danny, which seems plausible.
It goes back to my point last week where the writers just can't give everything to Arya. I agree.
Think Tyrion could kill her. I
get it. Arya's a great character. She's one of the top three characters.
I think John's
going
to have to kill her.
I think that's his mission
to kill her.
Yeah. That's my theory.
He's going to be like Ned, and like he has to do this, and it has to be done.
That's the thing. I think Jon sacrifices his life killing Drogon.
Yeah.
That's how I think Jon dies killing Drogon.
Yeah.
Because Drogon's got to die. Like,
no, he doesn't.
Yeah, what are you talking about? A dragon?
He's just going to go around dragon burning loose. Everything.
He's good. He's
you see what he just did?
Dragon.
See what he just did, and now he doesn't have, he doesn't have Danny. His mother gets killed. He's going to kill everybody.
True. Dragon's a big obstacle here.
Yeah.
It's a curveball.
It's a pretty big obstacle.
I think, like, Tyrion killing Danny would make sense. It's like Jaime is the Hand, killed the king, the Mad King, the Mad Queen.
Kingslayer.
As a callback,
Kingslayer and Queenslayer brothers.
Yeah, Queenslayer brothers. He's like loves his brother. They had that emotional scene.
Yeah, I'm
like,
curious.
That scene was really like, that scene was great. I thought the acting was incredible, but it was like they kind of like just threw that. Like Jaime didn't need to be captured, and then they just like made him captured.
Well, he did because he was going back down to King's Landing,
right? But like he could have just been there. Right,
I guess, but
they needed
but
to have him and Tyrion talk.
Yeah, they needed that talk.
They wanted them to see each other a final time. That's the kind of stuff that
it's fine, but
you just there are going to be issues. I'm trying to
just
get
there.
Just going to be issues.
Got to accept it
because of how good that scene was.
Yeah.
I thought that scene was good and worth it. And Tyrion, what about Peter Dinklage? Is
Peter Dinklage?
What a great episode!
It's funny because the whole episode they kept talking about I'm like, why are they're making so much of these goddamn bells, and then you kind of understand
why.
Yeah,
and that's just what they. As much as we criticize their writing, and I think rightfully so, but like they are very rich in. I think they're very good in. I just caught what you said.
Yeah.
They're rich in foreshadowing. Like just when they discuss like a certain object or a certain like action that has to be taken, that's generally means something. And it's when we get to that point, we get things like what happened with Dan.
Yeah, but now all we have is foreshadowing because everything anyone says is really important, and anything anyone
that's
touches
the point.
Is really important. Yeah. And bells. Well, the bells are going to be really important.
Yeah, like
kind of ruined foreshadowing when everything is a foreshadowing.
Right. And that's, again, that goes to back to the issues of D&D, the writers, David West and DB.
You're really killing these guys.
Yeah, because I don't think they're good.
I don't think it's their fault. I think their dumbest decision was to say that we're going to wrap it up in 13
episodes. But go back to what you were saying when you were in the beginning of this pod, when you said all the good things. None of that mentioned the writing. You just said the acting.
All this writing.
The action. Yeah. Acting and writing are two different things.
The way they finished all the characters, I thought was really good. The writing in this episode, I thought was good. The ending was good. Maybe that was coming from your fat guy, your old guy.
George R. Yeah.
This season I look at now and I look at one bad episode and the rest of it I think has been pretty good. I don't think
it ruined the show. If I look back and I'm like, is Game of Thrones my favorite show still? Yeah. It still is.
Yeah, I think it's top.
No, still a great show.
Part of the problem is really with it. They set the bar so incredibly high. Coming off season six of Game of Thrones, in my mind, is the best season of any television show.
Right, and that came after three, four, and five, which were like those seasons.
Five was okay.
All right,
I liked three and four a little bit better, but I enjoyed six. I didn't mind it.
It also wasn't as mainstream as it is, and there's theories and the hype and the talk about it. And we're doing we were doing a podcast for season three.
Yeah, and I think that goes to the point, like, to where I think they reached a critical mass of this saga. I'll just call it a saga for lack of a better term. Like, when George R. R. Martin wrote the first book, I think it was 96, like late 90s, mid 90s.
96, I believe.
Yeah, so what? But like, 96. There's no way. I know.
The last book he released was 2011.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. But like, that goes to my point.
We're screwed.
I think he created this universe, created this world, and only imagined a niche market before, like, 96. Think about it.
Yeah.
Like, nerd culture wasn't mainstream.
It wasn't even the internet. It was no social media. We were 10 years pre-social media.
You think when this show started, and I watched it with my nerd friends, and it was the guy from Lord of the Rings is in a fantasy show that's on HBO. Do you think I told Tom Kelly? Do you think I told Porter about the show?
About
no, because it was only going to be for me. Right. But guess what? It became so good, everyone got involved.
Yeah, everyone wants good and writing. So, it would have took 12 years.
Well, I take exception to that. I watched it from the beginning.
I didn't tell you that. But they made this giant web of characters, of subplots, of
everything. I
wasn't
like, you know who I'm going to tell about the show? Tom Kelly.
But like, they created this world of subplots and character development and all this stuff, and then it got so big where everyone wanted to watch it. 15 million people plus want to watch the show, and they realized that they probably realized, including George R. R. Martin, probably realized at a point, wow, I don't know what to do here. So, like, I completely lost it.
Yeah. I at least enjoyed the episode. How was your Sunday night then? I mean,
it was pretty bad. It's.
I mean, so you. I'm guessing you watched the end of the game, then you watched Game of Thrones.
I went right from.
And if you were this upset with the episode, you must have just been in bad shape.
With the Sixers, it was the first time my wife sat down next to me and watched a full Sixers game with me. So for her to see me go from, like, after the Jimmy Butler layup to tie it at 90.
I know, I went nuts.
And then just the Kawhi shot. All Heather goes is, did that really?
That's what my fantasy said. Did that go?
By the way, he probably made the right decision, but I was yelling at Butler there to pull up from three. I just wanted, I didn't think the Sixers were going to win in overtime, but still.
Yeah. I mean, like, as I put it this way, when I think maybe what diminished the episode for me raw after watching it was the Sixers. Like, obviously, when you go from.
at least you admit it.
Like, I think it was more the mindset going into it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because, like, as we make this discussion on this pod about what we thought, like, the more I think about it, like, okay, it was a decent episode, but there were major flaws that I can't not ignore.
I thought there would be criticisms, but I'm honestly surprised by the massive reaction of negativity.
I think it's like lingering negativity. Like, no matter what happens, people are going to be upset because it's rushed, and I'm just like trying.
People are having fun bashing it and pushing cute memes on Twitter.
Yeah, I think at this point, the memes to make fun of the show are now part of the show. Yeah. Like, it's just how it's going
to
go.
If you go back to season one, season two, whatever, you can do that kind of with. I mean, the writing was better, but you could still say, like, there were so many things that happened that were so. you know, whatever.
I mean, don't misconstrued like the Starbucks cup that we made fun of last week.
Yeah.
Like they've had those moments in the early seasons. We just haven't addressed
them. We didn't care. We didn't love it
as
much.
And
it's
the difference was with the Starbucks cup was just like, you're in the final season. It's like this is game seven of the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup playoffs, whatever you want to call it. And it's like you gotta be ready to show up to go. And to have something like that show up, I think it just it brings down the expectations. And
I will say though, I'm excited for the finale.
I am excited for the finale. And based on
they have to end it, and it has to have an ending. Yeah, and you're going to have a reaction either way. How can you not be excited about that?
Well, yeah, people are going to be unhappy regardless, but it does suck its ending.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
The only thing I can give me anything, I will bitch about it. I will laugh about it. I will cry about it.
We know.
Yeah. But I just don't give me Fade to Black Sopranos. Just don't give me that.
No, they're not doing that.
And I don't think they're going to do it. But I think that possibility might just lingers there, and I can't handle that.
So I guess we've seen the last of a lot of characters. I mean, Sam's not coming back in the show at this point.
I don't know. Maybe.
Like I said last week, there's a part of me that I think he's the one, quote unquote, writing this book, because we've all said like Sam is the characterization of George R. R. Martin. In the show, so he's the book writer. He's the note taker.
I don't know if he needs to be on screen with the other characters, but they have to show him.
What's up with Bronn now? Is he just collecting his castle?
Is he gonna go up to Tyrion and be like, "Hey,
where have you been?
Highgarden?
Yeah,
what? Gonna need
he should
that.
Just go to Highgarden and just sit there and be like, "It's mine now."
Who's stopping me? Like, who in the Reach, I guess, is that section? But it doesn't matter. Like, who's stopping him from going to Highgarden?
Nobody. Like, no one's stopping anyone from doing anything.
Right.
Well, unless Dany, who's going to name her own Lord of Highgarden. I mean, that's the only possibility.
I do have one more question about next week, though.
Mm-hmm.
What is Sansa's role next week? Because obviously she's a main character. She's got a role to play.
After she stops laughing.
My prediction, I think she... to my prediction that Dany dies, Jon says no to the throne, and they establish this like oligarchy / democracy type thing, I think she's going to have a major role in that. She'll basically what they're doing is like, you know how we've seen the small council and all that. We're going to see that expanded role, and there won't be a king or queen.
Well, like if we're going with the Stark theory, like Jon doesn't want to be king, Arya doesn't want to be queen, Bran doesn't want to be king. It's Sansa's.
My prediction from the start of the season was Sansa was going to end up ruling. Yeah. I think I'm looking pretty good.
That was big money in the beginning.
You know what's funny? I should pull up that tweet I saw.
Also, it could be Gendry still.
It could.
The Baratheon back on the... That spins the wheel back.
He's
right?
not
Yeah, but that's based on Dany, remember?
Baratheon Starks.
But him being a Baratheon is based on Dany.
Maybe Sansa and Tyrion do renew their marriage and go that
route. What do you mean it's based on Dany?
Remember, well, because Dany is the queen.
Oh, the Storm's End.
She named him the Lord of Storm's End,
right.
Which makes him legitimate.
Who's listening to Dany now? She's a homicidal maniac.
Exactly. So why would you listen?
I just mean Baratheon on the throne.
No,
just like it started with Rob Baratheon on the throne.
No, I don't think that's crazy, but at the same time, like, there's no one in the world of Westeros that will recognize Gendry, especially now after... Dany going crazy.
Yeah.
You know what? Every theory sounds crazy now.
It's driving me crazy. It does. It's really too hard to predict. And that's
what makes it great. I will give them credit. Like them going all over the place and not giving us like a clear path.
After all that, if they don't stick the landing, people are going to be like,
they're already pissed.
I'm already pissed enough. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter anymore. I don't know.
So you hated it that much? Are you out?
No,
out
no. Like
show?
I said, I think I was. I was actually watching
He's
it
out
last
in the
night.
Last two seasons.
I was watching it again last night to like because I wanted to watch it fresh, quote unquote, fresh without the emotion of the Sixers loss in Game 7.
I'm gonna watch it again tonight.
I gotta watch it again. I tried last night, but I had to deal with my wife had an allergic reaction to something, so I had to deal with that, and I had to stop watching. But like again,
real life Game of Thrones.
Yeah, real life Game of Thrones. I had to run to Rite Aid. But like, if I were to say this on a 10 at a 1 to 10 scale, it was like a 6.
The season,
the episode,
or
the
that episode, that specific episode.
I'd give it an 8 to a 9. Yeah,
I give episode 4.
Season,
I still, I'm still, I still think episode four was the issue.
For me. I agree. I agree with that. Like, I think episode four was the worst episode of the season.
But I think like
the fact that some of it leaked into this episode,
right?
We're still a little.
That's the thing.
A little cranky.
Right. That's exactly the thing. Is some of it leaked? Like it's set up a lot. So, but like the episode five was clearly what they were working. Even Battle of Winterfell didn't really matter. It was the episode that mattered.
I think it was in another podcast. Binge Mode that you and I listened to, TK. I think they said that I'm blanking on the director's name. The one that directed this episode,
the
guy that did the Battle of the Bastards. He's like the battle director.
Yeah, same
so
shot.
He said he wanted to do episode four, but that was directed by David Miller. Right. So because he thought that episodes 3, 4, and 5 were a story arc that ended on 5. Obviously, what we saw makes sense because Danny went crazy and burns Westeros, or excuse me, King's Landing. So like, I think I'm curious of what would have happened if D&D, the writers of the show, had given. I I'm blanking on this guy's name.
Sapochnik.
I think you're right. Had been given 3, 4, and 5, and not just 3 and 5.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it probably would have been written the same way. So
yeah, but
I don't know if it would have made
maybe
a difference.
But maybe directors have. I don't know how Hollywood works or director.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm just guessing of where we think it would go.
Sports radio guy. It's much simpler.
Yeah, we're just talking to a mic. Yeah.
Brett Brown, fire him or keep him.
We just have to speak into mics. We don't have to set up big battles and fire and CGI. Right.
So I think I'm. I don't want to be the pessimistic guy, but
not too late.
Yeah, I know. I accept it.
I just own it.
Man,
I'm totally the pessimistic
you're
guy.
On.
Yeah. But
you're on. You're on.
Yeah, I'm you're on.
I feel optimistic after last week.
I don't know. Something tells me. I think they'll stick this line, but I don't think it's going to be a happy.
There's no way everyone's going to be happy.
No, and I said that in the very first episode that we recorded, even really, in our preview pods. Yeah. There's no way that a majority of people are going to be happy with this.
I really just want it to be good. Like I
it's
really
a happy-ish
do.
Ending where, like, the Starks rule, I think most people will be satisfied.
I won't. I think there's a better...
I'll be annoyed if it's a happy ending. This is a Disney movie.
I don't mean, like, happy, but it's already unhappy. I mean, they just killed half the whole city.
I need more unhappy.
I think the only scenario where we see the Starks in a leadership role back to... is if... the Seven Kingdoms that are ruled by in one location of King's Landing, they all split up into different factions. Like the North is the North.
Yeah, because there is no King's Landing. There is no throne.
Literally,
who knows where the throne is at this point? At this point, it was just a symbol because Cersei really
does.
Wasn't
Danny make a new throne?
Ruling anything?
Yeah, I think there's still a throne. You'll see this week the vision that she had. From when she was in the House of the Undying, and Bran had the same vision, I believe. Yeah. One of the only visions we haven't seen is her walking into like the destroyed throne room. Because we saw Bran's vision last week from him seeing the dragon flying over King's Landing. Now we know what that's from.
That was from the future, yeah.
Yeah,
but
so...
Did any of the Starks even want to live in King's Landing?
I think that idea of all the Seven Kingdoms breaking up makes sense.
I don't know.
No, but actually, wait. No, your point where Dany walks in the throne room, we see that in her vision.
But we haven't seen it happen yet.
Right. All we know now is...
So we're going to see it happen this week.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misinterpreted. I was thinking...
Not necessarily, though. It doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, I think that...
I think it will.
I kind of agree with Porter there. Like, I think that just showed that wasn't snow anymore. What we were looking at was ash.
Right.
And that's all we're going to get. I don't think we're going to get actually her walking alone with a torch in that into the throne room.
I disagree.
I think that was just to visualize, to make us guess, is that snow, is that winter coming, or is that ash? And obviously now we know that's ash.
She's what she's done, and she sits on the throne for a second, and then she gets killed. Somehow.
Yeah.
Dude, I do not know.
I don't think Danny's living too long after this.
Yeah, like...
She can't, right? They have to kill her quickly, because...
We only had, 15 seconds of a preview for next week, and it was kind of just Danny walking on the steps.
Yeah, gave you nothing.
Also, like, these armies, I will say this, like, they keep getting bigger. These armies.
Yeah.
Where did Dothraki come from?
She ordered Dothraki on Amazon Prime, and it was there.
Yeah. Yeah, the Dothraki, I thought they all died in Winterfell.
If they didn't all die, only 10 lived in that massacre.
They had a big-ass army.
But, yeah, all right, we want to wrap?
I guess that's it. I don't really have anything else.
Yeah, I mean, pretty controversial podcast, I'd say.
Yeah.
Most of us liked it.
Yeah, I mean,
three-fourths of us. I did not like the episode because I think... of how they got to certain points in this episode was...
We know.
Yeah. Was just dishonest. It was just dishonest to where we were with those characters at that point.
No, I think it's good. That's okay. How people feel about it. Yeah. Like, some are conflicted. I think most people...
But this is what makes great television. It. Like, what makes a great show is just when it has rich plot writing and just character development that everyone appeals to, and then when you go sideways and mess up and people take it to heart, and even though it's just a TV show.
There's different layers of fandom, too. Like, I think you're more invested than most because you read the books, and I think people that just watch the show, they're just like, whatever.
I have a ton of friends who are way more, if you think I'm critical, they're way more critical
you're
than
in
I
that
am.
Realm. You're in the social media, you're in the world, so you're reading it. I think a lot of people just watch the show and just like, they just take it for what it's worth.
I get all Bill's points, and I feel the same way in some respects. I'm just trying to not look at it constantly. Right.
Try to enjoy your life. Yeah. This is something that's fun for you. Right. You don't want to sit around and poop on it all the time.
Right. It's a TV show that we can't control.
I was working Sunday night, and after that shot, I had to stay around, get all the post games, all the depressing post game sound. I'm like, I just want to go home and enjoy this.
It's the equivalent of yelling about how bad the Sixers are after they lose, and then not enjoying every win. Like, I'd rather enjoy the wins.
That happens every time.
That's what I'm saying. But like, I don't get mad, some people are like, oh, Ben Simmons sucks, they suck, and then they win the next game and they don't enjoy it as much.
And people who point out their flaws don't enjoy it, and then after a while they'd rather lose, and then they start wanting them to lose.
Bill's going
down that path.
Yeah, exactly. I need to stay positive.
Bill's going to be happier if it's terrible. That way he can come in here and poop on it.
Hey, I told you guys.
We'll have to know. We'll record on next Monday. I think we're all open.
I wasn't feeling well yesterday.
Are we doing an earlier recording next week?
Yeah, we'll try and do earlier. My hours are a little bit different now.
If you're still listening, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Yeah. 94 WIP Originals, if you're still with us.
Yeah. And follow us on Twitter at Radio Bill 1210. You got followers today because you got in an argument with Howard, so why not?
I'm going to keep fighting with Howard every day. Get like 20 extra followers.
This is fun. I'm excited for this final finale. The finale, just to
don't patronize us.
It's been eight. No,
Bill, you hate the show.
Years.
We all know you hate it.
We have all invested in the show for
do
the last
even
8 years.
It? I don't think you watch it.
Do you even live, bro?
I'll be watching it an hour late this week too.
I think you just reached Twitter and then uses everyone's comments on Twitter and then it comes in here and just spews them out.
I'm on from 8 to 10 Sunday night. So for any of you jerks out there. Yeah. Who are going to try to call me and spoil anything while the episode is playing, just don't.
I will say what really worked for me to prevent you from getting spoiled. So obviously the Sixers game ran into Thrones.
I logged off Twitter at 9 o'clock.
I didn't even log off. I set that you can mute words and hashtags
on
Twitter.
Too risky.
And it worked perfectly for
me.
Yeah.
I just signed off at 9 o'clock. And
no, it's smart. That's just as good a strategy.
I could spoil something with emojis. They'll get you.
No, that's the latest thing. Like, here's the Game of Thrones in 4 pictures with no context.
Yeah,
those are always good. Especially, obviously, you have to watch it.
I could see a meme this week if Danny ends up getting killed or something.
Mm-hmm.
Meme, Danny crying Joel Embiid face.
I have another prediction. If they do the thing you say with Samwell, then they do. Then it's Murder, She Wrote. It's her sitting there writing it down.
Yeah. That's a good one. All right. We'll talk next week.
All right. There it is. Game of Thrones podcast in the book. One more episode to go. See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.